I'm Gabe Ortiz, afternoon host at WIPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make the live streams like this one more difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WIPR's future. Find out more and donate at WIPR.org. Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us today. It's midday on higher education, an occasional series in which I speak with leaders of colleges and universities throughout the state of Maryland. In just a bit, I'll speak with Dr. Mark Ginsburg. He's the president of Towson University. But first, yesterday afternoon, the Baltimore Police Department released the body cam video of the police-involved shooting that took place in West Baltimore a week ago. A 36-year-old A-rabber named B.J. Abdullah was killed in an exchange of gunfire with police. One of the officers involved in the shooting, Devin Yancey, was shot in the foot. He has been released from the hospital and is recovering. Joining me now is Baltimore City Councilman John Bullock, who represents the 9th District, which includes the area where the shooting took place. Councilman, welcome back to the show. Always good to have you.
It's always great to be with you.
So when you saw the video and when you heard the presentation that Deputy Commissioner Brian Nadeau and Commissioner Richard Worley gave yesterday afternoon, what did you think? What did you come away with?
So I'll just say, it's an unfortunate situation for everyone, for the gentleman who expired, for the officer who wound up being injured, for community residents. Just a really challenging situation. I did have the opportunity to view the footage prior to the press conference and public release. And unfortunately, it does show the encounter and it shows the unfortunate aftermath in terms of what happened.
And is, in your view, what happened consistent with what the police originally said happened? Mayor Scott, Brandon Scott, released a statement that said that basically the description that police gave that first day is exactly how this incident happened. There is no ambiguity to that. Do you share that view?
For the most part, yes. I will say, it was something that was pretty, not say straightforward, because obviously there was a lot happening there. There were multiple officers. There were, there was a chase. There was a struggle. But essentially, it did confirm what had initially been the narrative. I will say, there was also the concern or the narrative around the community and in terms of, their response. That I think also was still leaves some questions as well, just in terms of folks on the ground maybe not really understanding what had truly unfolded in that scenario. And then you also had someone who was beloved by the community who also was clearly going through some challenges. I would say that, the video does support the police account, but I also would submit that, we don't want to reduce this gentleman's life just to this moment. And given what we had heard in the community in terms of his character, it seems to be a bit out of character. It seems like there were some other issues going on that we'll probably get some more details about going forward.
In the presentation that police presented yesterday when they released this video publicly, the deputy commissioner, Brian Nadeau, said that they have not yet interviewed the officers who were involved. There were three officers. Their names are Devin Yancey, Omar Rodriguez, and Ashley Negron. Do you find that unusual that, here we are a week after the shooting and the police have not yet interviewed the people who were involved in this very tragic incident?
Well, I'll say that was a question that that some other individuals had as well when we were actually getting a chance to view the footage. I know that there is a time period in which you have officers being interviewed, but then you also have just getting internal investigations involved. I would just say, from my perspective, I would like for such interviews to happen a little bit earlier. But I do understand that there is a process that the police department undergoes as it relates to police involved shootings. But it would be helpful to get some of this information out a little bit earlier. Not only I would say in terms of the interviews with officers, but I think even the footage getting out there. It would have been, I would have preferred. I think others might have preferred had this footage came out earlier, but I also know it's important to be sensitive to the family as well.
We have a little clip from the press conference yesterday. Here's Commissioner Rich Worley, part of what he had to say.
I recognize that emotions are high and the law at the loss of a cherished member of the community, and it's deeply felt. Use of force is never a first resort for the officers. As you can see, they had their guns holstered. We remain dedicated to an ongoing and open dialogue with our residents and full and thorough investigations.
So he's, of course, you know, promising that the investigation into this will continue. But you did have people from the community, Aaron Maben, who's an artist and activist. He's a former linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, posted on Twitter, "What we saw was deeply disturbing. What is visible is Mr. Abdullah fleeing and the situation escalating with no sign of de-escalation." So Councilman Bullock, part of the police narrative that they offered when the incident happened and repeated again yesterday was that the crowd, there was a crowd of people around during this, when this was all coming down, prevented police from immediately rendering aid to Mr. Abdullah after he had been shot. And they had to wait for other police officers to come before they could get to Mr. Abdullah. Is your, again, viewing of the tape and your conversations with various people, is that the way you see it?
So, you know, I definitely, you know, respect Aaron Maben. I know he's doing some work on the ground literally as we speak. I think my assessment would be a little bit different in terms of escalation or de-escalation for that matter. What we do know is that there was a prior incident that precipitated this encounter between Mr. Abdullah and police in the area. And unfortunately, what we see is actually the escalation on behalf of Mr. Abdullah. Obviously, there was some, I don't know if it was a mental health challenge or anything else that was going on, but clearly he did have the weapon. And what we see in the video is not only does he have the weapon, but he does fire the weapon even upon being on the ground, fires or at least attempts to grab the weapon. So, you know, I would just say it's hard to second guess individuals in a split second. But clearly, you know, it was a dangerous scenario. It's broad daylight. It could be a fairly busy area. And I think what also is probably worth mentioning, too, in terms of, you know, the response from members of the community who might not have understood what led up to the event and what it just transpired and what they had witnessed was someone that they, you know, loved, admired, now being shot, but not maybe not getting the full picture of what had transpired in the moments leading up to it.
And part of the investigation will involve the Police Accountability Board, the chairman of that board, which is independent from the police department. Jamal Turner was quoted in a story in the Baltimore Banner saying that that body was now faced with difficult and emotional questions, and he wants to look into the tactical response and the volume of force used. There are some estimates that there were more than 30 shots fired in this incident. You know, as we finish up here, do you think the folks in your district, the folks who were there, the folks who are, you know, reading and hearing about this, is this a an instance where confidence and trust in the police department has taken another step backwards after the, you know, the 8 years of the consent decree that the police department's been under?
You mentioned the timing of this. I mean, it's 10 years since, you know, the unrest and the death of Freddie Gray. And I know there's been a lot of progress that's been made. I'm hopeful that this doesn't take us in a backwards position. But what I'll just say is that, you know, there was initially, you know, concern around what had happened. I asked the question upon viewing the video in terms of the number of shots and what we believe is around 28 rounds were fired. But if you imagine having, you know, multiple officers responding at that particular time, you could see how the number could be that high. It's a very challenging situation. I will say there have been issues of, you know, trust issues with police in the past, I think we've made some progress. But I'll just say this, and I think the timing is really interesting. I know you have Dr. Ginsburg coming on, and I even when I speak to my students at Towson, when we talk about some of the underlying issues that folks are dealing with, whenever we have, whether it be unrest or just dissatisfaction, oftentimes we're dealing with issues of lack of opportunity. So when I met with some young people last week who had been on the scene, a lot of the things they talked about were, yes, that there's need for mental health and dealing with issues of trauma, but also opportunities for education and employment. And so again, I think that we have to keep our eye on multiple things that are happening. Yes, there are public safety challenges and issues as far as police and communities, but also what we can do as a city to also better serve our neighborhoods and put people in a better position in life so they don't wind up in such situations.
Dr. John Bullock represents the 9th District on the Baltimore City Council. Dr. Bullock, always a pleasure. I appreciate your perspective. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
And up next, as Dr. Bullock mentioned, another in our series, Midday on Higher Education. Dr. Mark Ginsburg is the president of Towson University, where Dr. Bullock teaches part-time, and he will join me on the other side of a quick break. I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.